Be under.
Notice.
Yes, it should have been after all that stuff.
Keep going. Oh, this is the declaration of land use restrictions, okay. This isn't even the.
Is it bylaws?
I think I'm on the agreement of general partnership.
Are you, yeah, and that's not gonna be it either.
Limited partnership.
Bylaws.
Keep going.
Okay.
That's it.
I'm at the top.
So they didn't send any bylaws.
There's restrictions on the transfer of the property, but that's not the bylaws.
First Amendment restated agreement.
Yeah, that's what we've been looking at.
The limit?
No, this one is not.
Oh, that's a different.
First Amendment restated agreement, limited part, well, keep going. Keep, go down again. Let's, okay, just say, terms of dissolution, section 1.05, page three.
Page three.
Yeah, that's what I was reading. I don't understand it.
One, two, right here, this page.
Can you make it bigger?
Partnerships up to four, two days.
Jennifer, can you make it bigger?
Assets will be dated prior to such date.
Keep going. Looks like they can sell it. Keep going. Your currency. With consent of the investor, limited partner, and consent of the state.
So when they sell it, it causes the cancellation of the certificate.
And currency is which is dissolution of partnership. Dissolution of partnership, general partnership. For three partnerships.
Okay, this is a satisfied partnership.
Okay, keep going.
Keep going.
Just. Okay, go to 403.
Distribute partnership assets to the partners in kind.
To 403.
Page 59. Yep, I looked that up earlier. Cash distributions prior to dissolution.
Yeah, it's a for-profit partnership.
You said 59, right?
I think so. If I know something, yeah.
Now, what I don't know is if there, I mean, there may be, I'm wondering if there's a state statute that.
Cash distributions prior to dissolution.
You said 4-3?
Shall we describe?
Yeah, go down.
This is a for-profit corporation.
So they should be taxed.
The land should be taxed. However, the market value, because of its restrictions on transfer, is probably going
to
be.
I'm trying to find 403. Did that pass it?
Yeah, this is part of distribution.
Yeah, 49.98% go to the managing general partners.
Yeah, that's not the LP is not a
501c3. Can you bring up Chuck Bell's letter?
I apologize for upsetting you.
Huh?
So I apologize for anybody who thought that it was, because they're not going to be happy with this.
That's a statute that, when it comes to political subdivision, does that make any difference?
I'm sorry?
That was the letter from Chuck Pennell.
We both would have written the same one.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is they're wrong. So, I mean they've gotten the benefit for a long time. But if the state... I mean, I'm sure that they probably could take this to the State Tax Commission, but I don't know of a way that, I mean, to be consistent with everything we've done before, and there's more than just me on the board, of course, but to be consistent with what we've done in the past, I think that we have to, now the valuation is a different question because of all the restrictions that are on the property and being able to sell it. I don't know what the fair market value would be, and I don't know of any statute that would help you value that when they are utilizing it in a low income. I mean, it sounds like to me that the purpose of this 501c3, but the entity that owns the land is a for-profit venture. So I don't know how that's.
Other than they're involved with the MHDC and they have their own set of rules, so yeah. I don't know that we could actually rule on this. I believe this is above the understanding of all the rules.
I mean, if somebody leases the, or if somebody builds a building for the United Way and they lease it, you know, that doesn't make the land, or right. whatever, you know, it doesn't make the land not for profit. Certainly the operation of the business is not for profit. So any income produced from the property is not, I think, would be covered under their 501c3, but I don't know how we would.
So would we just value this? Because we've done a cost basis, and then they just sent us the income for the 3 year. Would we do it the same as all the other low income, and then they can take it to the STC?
Any agency or unit, I don't know, any agency or unit of the state except counties and school districts.
Again, that letter and the one from me, I think, is a copy of that one, but that's what we were.
Support of development to say it's supported to Tenney County. Levy and via its agents and managing. It is my belief that your organization falls under the statutory definitions of mm-hmm. ownership.
Provides okay. for the exemption of property owned by said political subdivision.
I mean, if all of this burns down tomorrow and they don't rebuild it, does somebody still own the land and can sell it and get money for it? I mean, that's kind of the question to me. So I don't
just need a clear way to go in the assessor's office for the next person to know.
Right, but your valuation of that property is on a cost basis.
Right now it's at cost, but they also sent us finally their income stuff to figure.
So it should be figured at a cap rate. Under that one bill? I mean, is it falling
well,
under
you would do with,
public properties?
You would go with the numbers that you used for Mark Williams because you said his were older units, and this is an older unit. Yeah.
Right.
So I understand that. But is that what you're directing me
you
to
mean
go
to
ahead
treat
and
it,
do?
Treat it like one of the other statutory low-income housing?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, senior housing falls under that MCDH, and LIHTC does.
Yeah, they all have that development. Contract, the MDHC or whatever it is.
MHD.
Is it going to come in significantly below this value, I assume, or not? Or
Missouri Housing Development.
I'm guessing so. I don't have it ready. I mean, we just got the numbers. So, but again, we were going to apply the same. And if you stipulate that in your decision for this 126, we will work these numbers using the 7.9 plus ETR and 350 a unit reserve, if that is what you want to make, because we're still working on our numbers to get them checked.
We don't even know if they have a reserve.
Yeah, we need to ask.
Well, if they don't, then they don't get to take it out of the expenses on the calculation.
Right.
I mean, right? In other words, if they don't have a reserve, then they don't get to take it out of their expenses on the calculation.
You said they sent numbers in. Is there a way to look to see if they're...
They've sent numbers in. I don't have them with me. But
I guess what she was asking is if they don't have, like the other properties, have a statutory or required retainage per unit, so to speak.
Well, if they have a LURA, shouldn't they? Isn't that what all the statute says?
I don't know.
But
whether they do or they don't, it just means you include it or don't include it in your calculation.
Right.
Okay. So.
So they do have a LURA.
All right. All right. I think there's another number we may need to talk. Well, maybe this is right.
Yeah, it's on there.
That's correct. There's a phone number. Hi, Leela. This is David Akers of the Taney County BOE. Do you have a minute?
Yeah.
Okay. Leela, we have looked through the documents that we have here, and this is kind of a hybrid type of project compared to some of like the other low-income housing properties. But the overall problem from trying to exempt the property is just that the property is owned by the LP, which is not a 501c3, and the property does not go to a charitable purpose. If the whole thing burned down tomorrow and nobody decided to rebuild it, the land can be sold, and if the LP stops doing the contract, they still own the buildings. Now, there's a lot of transfer restrictions and everything else. And because of that, we think it's probably going to fall within the guidelines of what we do. We calculate a cap rate. We have a cap rate that we determine, and there's an income numbers and things like that. And I don't know what that number comes out to be, but it's probably less, significantly less than the cost approach. But we don't know if you guys do a cash reserve per room or anything like that on these. You may not have those regulations with yours. Do you know?
When you say cash reserve, we're required to do a replacement reserve for every unit.
Okay. Do you know what that is?
It started out at $300 a unit. It's increased 3% every year for the last 10 years. I don't know what
they sound very similar to us.
Yeah.
You guys sound very similar to the other. I think that you are the low-income housing thing, but it...
Yes.
But it doesn't. It shouldn't be an exemption on the property. We don't really know why that was in there, because we can't do that unless the property itself goes to charity at the end, when all of this ends, kind of thing.
Okay. I guess I'm confused, because it, as it stands now, it is. The LP is not a not-for-profit. The LP, I don't think, can be a not-for-profit to be. Qualify for tax credits.
That's the thing. The tax credits are a profit. You know, I mean, that's there's a benefit there, and that means that the LP is gaining a benefit, and they own the land. So that's the reason that it can't be exempt. But it can be treated as the other low-income properties that we have. In other words, the determinations that were made before were just not accurate. Now, having said all this, Leela, I want you to understand we greatly appreciate what the property and what it's being done with the property. Our determination as a board on the exempt status has nothing to do with making any commentary on that. It's just that we have to treat everybody consistently with what we've done with other nonprofits in the same situation, and that is if the land is owned by something other than the nonprofit and it doesn't go to charity, upon dissolution of everything, then it has to be subject